Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Amanda. In today's edition, I will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. We will begin with several segments, from news, commentary, other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Listener, we begin our program today with the news. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo pays working visit to Malang. Soekarno-Hatta Airport to be hub airport competing three countries in Southeast Asia. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. President Joko Widodo made a one-day working visit to Malang, East Java on Monday. The president and entourage took off from Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base, Jakarta, using the Indonesian One presidential aircraft at 8:45 a.m. local time. The working cabinet ministers who accompanied President Joko Widodo during this visit included Minister of State Secretariat Pratikno and Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi. As reported by Antara, President Joko Widodo will officially open the Pandaan Malang Toll Road Section 1 and 3 from Pandaan to Singosari along 31 kilometers. Meanwhile, the Section 4 to 5 of Singosari Malang along 7.48 kilometers is still under construction. The Pandaan Malang Toll Road has a total length of 38.5 kilometers consisting of five sections. The Section 1 is Pandaan to Purwodadi along 15.5 km. The Section 2, Purwodadi to Lawang, 8.05 km long. The Section 3, Lawang Singosari along 7.10 km. The Section 4, Singosari to Pakis along 4.75 km. And the Section 5, Pakis to Malang is 3.11 km long. The government is preparing Soekarno-Hatta International Airport to be one of the top hub airports in Southeast Asia besides Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. A hub airport serves international flights directly without transit. Indonesian Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi said that the participation of Indonesian airlines would support the government's efforts in developing Soekarno-Hatta Airport into a hub airport. One of them is by opening direct flight route. He said in Surabaya on Sunday that the opening of direct flight would also boost the visit of foreign tourists to Indonesia. As quoted by Tempo.co, the Indonesian government is accelerating the development of Soekarno-Hatta Airport by intensifying the construction of Runway 3. Minister Budi Karya Sumadi also pointed out that after the construction of Runway 3 finish and its operation starts, the air traffic will improve. In addition, the government has also projected to establish the new terminal, namely Terminal 4, at Soekarno-Hatta Airport. The Transportation Ministry will lower the upper limit tariff of airplane tickets by about 15%. The force policy is taken as a final resort to the curb airfares, as airlines insist on keeping the current prices of domestic flights, which had soared since the end of last year. As quoted by Tempo, the correction in the upper limit fare for domestic flights will be decided today, Monday, after Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi reports the results of his team's calculations to Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution. Minister Budi Karya reported to Tempo on Thursday that this step is taken because airlines have failed to comply with his ministry's request to cut prices by means of applying subclass categories. The Center for Volcanology and Geological Disaster Mitigation, PVMBG, has advised residents, climbers, and tourists not to do any activity in the hazard estimated zone, which covers all areas within a 4-kilometer radius from the crater of Mount Agung Summit in Karangasem District of Bali, which erupted and issued a loud bang on Sunday. The warning posted on the official VVMBG website on Monday said that people who live around Mount Agung must be aware for the potential secondary threat of rain lava flows. According to VVMBG, the volcano with level 3 standby activity levels has erupted since November 21, 2017, and on May 12, 2019, experienced a single eruption earthquake, 5 gods of earthquakes, 2 distant tectonic earthquakes, escorted by Antara. Meanwhile, the Mount Agung Monitor Post official reported the presence of incandescent material as far as approximately 3,000 meters to the west and northwest. The Indonesian Ministry of Transportation through the Directorate General of Land Transportation will restrict the operation of vehicles carrying export and import goods. During the Idul Fitr exodus, the operation transportations carrying export and import goods will not be restricted from May the 31st to June the 2nd. However, these transportations must use QR code sticker. Director General of Public Transportation at the Transportation Ministry, Ahmad Yani, said that the QR code sticker displays the identities of the transportations, such as the plate number and the vehicle identification number, VIN. In his press release received by Republic Online on Sunday, Ahmad Yani further said that both of the Land Transportation Organization and the Indonesian Trucking Association will report the number of export and import transportations to operate during the restriction period. The data will be submitted to the Ministry of Transportation and the sticker will be processed based on the number of the transportations. Minister of Health Nila Muluk reminded travelers to ensure their health before leaving for conducting mudik or annual mass exodus ahead of the Idul Fitr festivity, which marks the end of holy month of Ramadan. It was stated by Minister Nila Muluk after attending the traffic coordination meeting for the 2019 Idul Fitr in Surabaya, East Java on Sunday. She added that preventive measures for ensuring the good health of drivers is also important so that there would be no obstacles during the trips. Thus, the Ministry of Health and local health offices will provide health services post at temporary rest area. Minister Nila Muluk also said that her side would also provide ambulances, both motorcycles and cars, on standby at several health service posts. In addition, escorted by Antara, the Indonesian Red Cross will also prepare 134 health service points and rest areas that will be prepared at terminals, stations, and ports. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian tennis player Christopher Rungkat pairing with Taiwanese player Shi Cheng Pang won Busan Open after defeating Toshihide Matsui from Japan and Vishnu Fardan from India 7-6 and 7-1 in the final round held on Sunday. Christopher and Xie successfully maintained their title that they also won in 2008. As reported by Antara, Christopher and Xie also reached the final rounds of Sofia Open and Bangkok Open 2019. In SEA Games, to be held by the end of 2019, Christopher will be Indonesia's top gold medalist from tennis sports category. He will be paired up with Aldila Suciadi, who won gold medal in Asian Games 2018. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's commentary is about Ramadan that is deployed as a momentum to build peace after the elections. This commentary will be presented by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The topic of today's commentary is Ramadan momentum to relieve political tensions. Well, listener, the 14th implementation of the 2019 simultaneous general election has passed for 3 weeks. Noise and mutual accusations are still ongoing between the camp of 01 and 02 that are most concerned with the result of the ballot counting of the presidential election by the General Election Commission, KPU. The issue of fraud continues to be voiced by both sides. Claims certainly attract the attention of some people in various regions. A group of people respond normally. However, some people feel emotional. At the grassroots level, they are tempted to question the issue of people power, which is highlighted by the camp of 02. The situation has been concerning lately. Moreover, the situation is worsened when hundreds of people who served at the polling station and counting desks were declared dead because of being fatigued or other health problems. The fragment of great news that appears almost every day is not able to encourage each camp to refrain. In fact, the fragment of the sad news is often put aside with issues about fraud surrounding the ballot counting. Disputes related to election results occur commonly. Abroad, the dispute arising from election results also often occurred. Let's look at the one that has happened in Venezuela more recently. This becomes international news. In Indonesia, the General Election Commission KPU and the Election Supervisory Body or Bawaslu, as the two institutions responsible for the administration and supervision of the elections, have called on all stakeholders, especially the political elites and supporters of the two presidential candidates, to refrain from actions that can worsen the situation. They must entrust fully the KPU and Bawaslu over the results of the honest and fair general elections. Therefore, political actors must exercise restraint during this holy month, Ramadan, 1440 Hijriah. We hope that the Ramadan can encourage all communities, especially the two camps, to introspect and reflect themselves. Indonesian noble public ethics must not be damaged or setback because of the general elections. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, would you like to find more information about historical events happening on 11th of May? Let's find out on our program, Today in History.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Our regular program, Today in History, starts from an event on May 13, 1969, on Chinese-Malay racial riot. Chinese-Malay racial riot in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, happened on May 13, 1969. The event began in 1963 and Malaysia suffered due to wealth inequality among Chinese descendants, which were generally traders. They also dominated most of the Malaysian economy. In addition, Chinese people also dominated most of the state's wealth. The racial riot in Singapore in 1964 was also one of the triggers why Singapore left from Malaysia. The next event is that in 1998, May Riot occurred in Jakarta. May Riot 1998 is a racial riot on Chinese ethnic, which occurred in Indonesia on May 13 to 15, 1998. The event occurred in Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia, but the riot also occurred in some regions across the country. The riot was triggered by financial crisis of Asia and Trisakti tragedy, where 4 students of Trisakti University were shot and killed in a mass demonstration on May 12, 1998. In the riot, there were many shops and companies destroyed by angry mob, especially belonging to Chinese descendants. The riot ended after second president Suharto announced his resignation from presidential position that was ruled 31 years. The last event is that in 2011, Charsada bombing blasted. Double bombing occurred on May 13, 2011 at Shab Qadar Fortress, Charsada District, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa Province in Pakistan. Around 98 people were killed when suicide bomb exploded at Frontier Constabulary Training Center. At least 140 people were injured. The explosion occurred when the cadets were entering the bus for 10 days vacation after joining the training. Tehrik Taliban Pakistan officially claimed to be responsible for the bombing and said that the attack was revenge of the death of Bin Laden. Listener, that was Today in History.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was the first song entitled Sujudku by AB3. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we will present you about our program where we will focus on an issue called My Indonesia. Today's topic about the sustainability of palm oil. It will be presented by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, My Indonesia. The topic of today is European Union appreciates standard of Indonesian's sustainable palm oil. The European Union appreciates the standard of Indonesian sustainable palm oil, or ISPO. Head of the ISPO Commission Secretariat, Aziz Hidayat, said in Jakarta on Friday that for 2 days from 8th until 9th of May, 9 European Union member countries, Belgium, Spain, Finland, Ireland, Sweden, Hungary, the Netherlands and Britain, and the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, representative visited ISPO members of oil palm plantation in Rio province. The visit, which was attended by the embassy representatives, was an activity initiated by the American European Director General of the Minister of Foreign Affairs to provide understanding and concrete evidence of the application of the ISPO as Indonesian commitment to implement sustainability themes. During the visit, the European Union actively engaged in a dialogue with oil palm stakeholders, starting from the government, business people, and farmers. During the dialogue with the palm oil farmers, the European Union began to understand that ISPO is an important part of Indonesian commitment to be able to increase the production of fresh fruit bunches up to 50%, improve quality, and encourage high selling prices. They really appreciate that. As it said, the European Union praised ISPO member farmers who have good technical knowledge regarding productive and sustainable palm oil management. In fact, the European Union encourages more farmers to be involved in the ISPO scheme because oil palm plantations in Indonesia are an important part of people's economy with more than 40% of farmers' oil palm plantations. Aziz Hidayat also pointed out that from the visit, the European Union understood more about the Indonesian government being transparent and committed to sustainable management. Even the European Union has just learned that ISPO adopts not only international principles but also standards about the average criteria required by international certification agencies. The Indonesian government also provides an understanding that palm oil production with ISPO schemes has a major role to reduce deforestation and improve environmental conditions, as it ensures that all ISPO certification systems refer to international standard and conformity assessment based on the National Accreditation Committee. Meanwhile, chairperson of the fiscal division of the Indonesian Palm Oil Businessmen Association, or GAPKI, Bambang Arya Wisena, hopes that ISPO becomes the main platform for the sustainability of Indonesian palm oil industry. As a mandatory certificate, ISPO, with strict regulatory control, greatly helps the palm oil industry increase productivity in a sustainable, responsible, and legal manner. Bambang also emphasized that strengthening the ISPO is an important part of maintaining Indonesian position as the world's largest palm oil producer and the highest earning commodity producer in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Dan ku lihat dunia telah ku terima menyesali yang ku punya. Tapi ku sadari ada lubang dalam hati. Ku cari sesuatu yang mampu mengisi lubang ini. Ku menanti jawaban apa yang dikatakan oleh hati. Apakah itu kamu? Apakah itu dia? Selama ini ku cari tanpa henti. Apakah itu cinta? Apakah itu cita yang mampu melengkapi lubang di dalam hati? Ku mengira hanya dia lah obatnya. Tapi ku sadari bukan itu yang ku cari. Ku teruskan perjalanan panjang yang begitu melelahkan. Dan ku yakin kau tak ingin aku cari tanpa henti. Apakah itu cinta? Apakah itu cita yang mampu melengkapi lubang di dalam hati?
Second song entitled Lubang di Hati or Hole in the Heart by Leto. Listener, you still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, I will take you to find more information about beautiful destinations, cultural wisdom, and of course, the beauty and exoticism of Indonesian culture. In today's edition, we'll present you one of the places in West Sulawesi called Tamasapi Waterfall. It will be presented by Amanda. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you to Tamasapi Waterfall in West Sulawesi Province. Stay tuned. Mamuju has many beautiful tourism objects, beginning from historical sites, amazing beach, mountain, and waterfall. Tamasapi Waterfall is a tourism destination which is located at Tamasapi Hamlet, Mamuju Regency, West Sulawesi. The waterfall is about 75 meters high, and its water is from Tamasapi River. The natural atmosphere at Taman Sapi Waterfall Complex is still fresh. There are beautiful grass and big trees surrounding the waterfall. Now this tourism object becomes one of choices for domestic tourists because the road access to the location is quite good, which makes the tourists easy to go there. This waterfall is quite heavy, and tourists can play water at the surrounding of the waterfall, but they should be careful. To go to Taman Sapi Waterfall from the downtown of Mamuju, you can ride motorcycle or go by boat car under Taman Sapi Hamlet. Then you can continue your journey on foot around 1 kilometer for 30 minutes. Along the road to the waterfall, there are several durian trees. If you come to this hamlet when durian season, you can directly buy the durian from the farmers who often offer with cheaper prices. To enter this tourism object, you must pay entrance ticket around 5,000 rupiahs. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Kau hanyalah dirimu yang mampu begitu.
just listened to the third song by the group entitled Satu Mimpiku, or One of My Dreams. For the next segment, I will present you a program about learning Bahasa Indonesia, where we will learn Indonesian language in a fun and easy way. This program is actually a joint initiative between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Department of Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. This is Saturday Word Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Area Watch Service with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency in the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Yang Mana Rumah Pak Joko, or in English, which one is Pak Joko's house? Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Yang Mana Rumah Pak Joko, or in English, which one is Pak Joko's house? Tony and taxi driver arrived at Jalan Garuda. They are looking for Joko's house. The driver asks the address to people there.
Permisi, maaf mau tanya.
Iya.
Yang mana rumah Pak Joko?
Oh, itu di sana, rumah yang warna biru.
Oh, terima kasih, Pak.
Sama-sama.
After the conversation, now I will introduce some vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Permisi, maaf, mau tanya. Once again, permisi, maaf, mau tanya. In English, it means, excuse me. Next, yang mana rumah Pak Joko? In English, which one is Pak Joko's house? Once again, yang mana rumah Pak Joko? In English, which one is Pak Joko's house? Next, warna, which means color. Once again, warna, which means color. We move on to the next vocabulary, berwarna, which means colored. Once again, berwarna, which means colored. Let's go to the next one. Itu di sana rumah yang berwarna biru. Over there, the house is blue. Once again, itu di sana rumah yang berwarna biru. Over there, the house is blue. Next, itu di sana yang dekat pohon mangga, which means over there, near the mango tree. Once again, itu di sana yang dekat pohon mangga, which means over there, near the mango tree. The next vocabulary is besar, which means big. Once again, besar, which means big. And the last vocabulary is lantai dua, or in English, second floor. Once again, lantai dua, or in English, second floor. In the dialogue, the driver asks people, yang mana rumah Pak Joko, which means, which one is Pak Joko's house? Then, the people give a direction by mentioning the color of Pak Joko's house. Itu, di sana rumah yang berwarna biru. Or in English, over there, the house is blue. Now, I will give you more examples. Yang mana rumah Pak Joko? Which one is Pak Joko's house? Yang mana rumah Pak Joko? Which one is Pak Joko's house? Itu, di sana, yang dekat pohon mangga. Over there, near the mango tree. Once again, itu, di sana, yang dekat pohon mangga. Over there, near the mango tree. Next example, yang mana rumah Pak Joko? Which one is Pak Joko's house? Yang besar, lantai dua. The big one, the two-story house. Once again, yang mana rumah Pak Joko? Which one is Pak Joko's house? The answer, yang besar, yang lantai dua. The big one, the two-story house. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, for more details, let's repeat to the conversation once more.
Permisi, maaf mau tanya.
Iya.
Yang mana rumah Pak Joko?
Oh, itu di sana, rumah yang warna biru.
Oh, terima kasih, Pak.
Sama-sama.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Sebaliknya, ku memohon kini. Mungkin pintaku kian mengibah, dengarlah kali ini saja, ku takkan lebih banyak bicara. Sini. Tapi
menginginkan sebaliknya. Ku memohon kini. Oh, mungkin pintaku kian mengibah. Dengarlah kali ini saja, ku takkan lebih banyak bicara.
Song by Lingua entitled Jangan Kau Henti or Don't Stop. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, let's find out more information about Indonesian music. For today's edition, we will present you a song by Afgan Syahreza entitled Padamu Ku Bersujud.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back again in Music Corner. Today, I will present you a religious song from Afgan Syahreza entitled Padamu Ku Bersujud or I Bestow Myself. In the month of Ramadan in 2009, Afgan released a mini album entitled Bersihkan Dirimu or Purify Yourself, which contained of 4 songs. One among of his songs is entitled Padamu Ku Bersujud. The song has a deep meaning, namely requesting for forgiveness to the God of his mistakes. Because only God that is merciful and he is the best place to ask for forgiveness and to take refuge from all the problems. The song also reminds us in order to repent and ask forgiveness from all the mistakes that we have made in the past. Listener, here is Afgan with his song entitled Padamu Ku Bersujud.
Ada yang bisa kulihat selain hanya namamu, ya Allah. Esok ataukah nanti, ampuni semua salahku, lindungi aku dari segala fitnah. Kau tempatku meminta, Kau beriku bahagia, jadikan aku selamanya hambamu yang selalu bertakwa. Ampuniku ya Allah yang sering melupakanmu, saat kau limpahkan karuniamu dalam sunyi aku bersujud.
salahku. Lindungi aku dari segala fitnah. Kau tempatku meminta, kau beriku bahagia. Jadikan aku selamanya hambamu yang selalu bertahan. Ampuniku ya Allah yang sering melupakanku. Saat kau limpahkan karuniamu dalam sunyi aku bersujud. Kau tempatku meminta, kau beriku bahagia. Jadikan aku selamanya hambamu yang selalu bertakwa. Ampuniku ya Allah yang sering melupakanmu. Saat kau lupakan karuniamu dalam sunyi aku bersujud padamu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku menghiraukan kau pergi, tersenyum saat kau kembali. Nikmati kehangatan di setiap suap yang terhidang.
Thank you very much for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Don't forget, listener, you can also send us your suggestions and criticism through our social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, Voice of Indonesia, Twitter, @VoiIndonesia, and don't forget to send us your email to our email address, voi@voinews.id.